Opinion Vertical Line. Get to know the influential conservative intellectuals who help explain GOP extremism. The New York Times, November 4, 2023. It's easy to become inured to the extremism that has suffused the Republican Party in recent years. Donald Trump, the dominating frontrunner for the party's presidential nomination, spends days in court, in a judicial system he regularly disparages, charged with a long list of offenses and facing several trials. In the House, Republicans recently chose a new speaker, Representative Mike Johnson, who not only endorsed the attempted overturning of the 2020 election but also helped to devise the rationale behind it. "We shouldn't grow complacent about just how dangerous it all is and how much more dangerous it could become. The efforts to overturn the 2020 election failed. We're told that's because the institutions held. But it's more accurate to say that most of the individuals holding powerful positions within those institutions, the White House, the Pentagon, the courts, election officials in Georgia and other states, sided with the Constitution over Mr. Trump's desire to remain in power. But what if key individuals decide differently the next time they are faced with this kind of choice? What if they have come to believe that the country is in such dire straits, has reached the state of apocalyptic decadence, that democracy is a luxury we can no longer afford? The coalition of intellectual catastrophists on the American right is trying to convince people of just that, giving the next generation of Republican office holders, senior advisors, judges and appointees explicit permission and encouragement to believe that the country is on the verge of collapse. Some catastrophists take it a step further and suggest that officials might contemplate overthrowing liberal democracy in favor of revolutionary regime change, or even imposing a right-wing dictatorship on the country. The list of people making these arguments includes former officials in the Trump administration, some of whom are likely to be considered for top jobs in the event of a Trump restoration in 2024. It includes respected scholars at prestigious universities and influential think tanks. The ideas about the threat of an all-powerful totalitarian left and the dismal state of the country, even the most outlandish of them, are taken seriously by conservative politicians as well as prominent influencers on the right. That makes this a crucial time to familiarize ourselves with and begin formulating the response to these ideas. If Mr. Trump manages to win the presidency again in 2024, many of these intellectual catastrophists could be ready and willing to justify deeds that could well bring American liberal democracy to its knees. The Claremont catastrophists, probably the best-known faction of catastrophists and the one with the most direct connection to Republican politics, is led by Michael Anton and others with ties to the Claremont Institute, a right-wing think tank in California. Mr. Anton's notorious Claremont Review of Books essay in September 2016 called the contest between Mr. Trump and Hillary Clinton the Flight 93 election. Mr. Anton, who would go on to serve as a National Security Council official in the Trump administration, insisted the choice facing Republicans, like the passengers on the jet hijacked by terrorists intent on self-immolation in a suicide attack on the White House or the Capitol on September 11, was to charge the cockpit or you die. For a few months in 2000 and 2001, Mr. Anton was my boss in the communications office of Mayor Rudy Giuliani, and we have engaged in spirited debates over the years. Mr. Anton's Flight 93 essay originally appeared on a website with modest traffic, but 2 days later Rush Limbaugh was reading it aloud in its entirety on his radio show. The essay set the tone of life or death struggle and related imagery that is common among catastrophists. After leaving the Trump White House, Mr. Anton updated and amplified the argument in a 2021 book, The Stakes: America at the Point of No Return. America faced a choice. Either Mr. Trump would prevail in his bid for re-election or America was doomed. John Eastman, a conservative lawyer also at the Claremont Institute, agreed. That is why, after Joe Biden won the 2020 election, Mr. Eastman set about taking the lead in convincing Mr. Trump that there was a way for him to remain in power, if only Vice President Mike Pence treated his ceremonial role in certifying election results as a vastly broader power to delay certification. Despite legal troubles related to the efforts to overturn the election, Mr. Eastman's attitude hasn't changed. In a conversation this summer with Thomas Klingenstein, a leading funder of the Claremont Institute, Mr. Eastman explained why he thought such unprecedented moves were justified. The prospect of Mr. Biden's becoming president constituted an existential threat, Mr. Eastman said, to the survivability of the country. Would we completely repudiate every one of our founding principles and allow ourselves to be eradicated? Those were the stakes, as he viewed them. Once a thinker begins to conceive of politics as a pitched battle between the righteous and those who seek a country's outright annihilation, extraordinary possibilities open up. That's how, in May 2021, Mr. Ng came to conduct a two-hour podcast with a far-right Silicon Valley tech guru and self-described monarchist, Curtis Yardin, in which the two agreed that the American regime is today most accurately described as a theocratic oligarchy. In that arrangement, an elite class of progressive priests ensconced in executive branch agencies, the universities, elite media and other leading institutions of civil society promulgate and enforce a distorted and self-serving version of reality that illegitimately justifies their rule. In this conversation, Mr. Enton and Mr. Yardin swapped ideas about how this theocratic oligarchy might be overthrown. It culminated in Mr. Yardin sketching a scenario in which a would-be dictator he alternatively describes as Caesar and Trump defies the laws and norms of democratic transition and uses a Trump APP to direct throngs of his supporters on the streets of the nation's capital to do his bidding, insulating the would-be dictator from harm and the consequences of his democracy-defying acts. A year ago, Mr. Enton revisited the topic of the perils and possibilities of Caesarism on the Matthew Peterson Show with several other intellectual catastrophists with ties to the Claremont Institute. Another panelist on the online show, Charles Haywood, a wealthy former businessman, used the term Red Caesar, referring to the color associated with the GOP, in a 2021 blog post about Mr. Enton's second book. On the Peterson Show, Mr. Enton described Caesarism as one-man rule that emerges after the decay of a Republican order, when it can no longer function. He also said that he would lament the United States coming to these circumstances because he would prefer the country to embrace the principles of 1787 forever. But if that is no longer possible, he said, the rule of a Caesar can be a necessary method to restore order. The Christian reverse revolutionaries, those on the right primarily concerned about the fate of traditionalist Christian morals and worship in the United States, insist that we already live in a regime that oppresses and brutalizes religious believers and conservatives. And they make those charges in a theologically inflected idiom that's meant to address and amplify the right's intense worries about persecution by progressives. Among the most extreme catastrophists writing in this vein is Stephen Wolfe, whose book A Case for Christian Nationalism calls for a just revolution against America's binocracy rule by women that emasculates men, persuading them to affirm feminine virtues, such as empathy, fairness and equality. In its place, Mr. Wolfe proposes the installation of a Christian prince, or a form of theocratic Caesarism. Other authors aspire to greater nuance by calling the dictatorship weighing down on religious believers soft totalitarianism, usually under the rule of social justice progressivism. These writers often draw direct parallels between the fate of devout Christians in the contemporary United States and the struggles of Eastern Europeans who sought to practice their faith but were harshly persecuted by Soviet tyranny. Establishing the validity of that parallel is the main point of the most recent book by the writer Rob Dreher, Live Not by Lies, A Manual for Christian Dissidents. The title is drawn from the writings of the Soviet dissident Alexander Solzhenitsyn. But Patrick Deneen of the University of Notre Dame offers the most elaborate and intellectually sophisticated response in his recent book, Regime Change, Toward a Post-Liberal Future. Mr. Deneen and I worked together professionally at several points over the past two decades, and Mr. Dreher and I have been friends for even longer. Mr. Deneen's previous book, While Liberalism Failed, was praised by writers across the political spectrum, including former President Barack Obama, for helping readers understand the appeal of the harder-edged populist conservatism that took control of the Republican Party in 2016. Regime Change is a much darker book that goes well beyond diagnosing America's ills to propose what sounds, in certain passages, like a radical cure. The book opens with a tableau of a decaying country with declining economic prospects, blighted cities, collapsing birth rates, drug addiction and widespread suicidal despair. The source of these maladies, Mr. Deneen claims, is liberalism, which until recently has dominated both political parties in the United States, imposing an ideology of individual rights and historical progress on the country from above. This ideology, he says, denigrates tradition, faith, authority and community. Growing numbers of Americans supposedly reject this outlook, demanding a post-liberal government and social, cultural and economic order basically, hard right policies on religious and moral issues, and hard left on economics. But the forces of liberalism are entrenched on the center left and center right, using every power at their disposal to prevent regime change. Mr. Dineen is inconsistent in laying out how post-liberal voters should achieve the overthrow of this progressive tyranny. In some passages, he advocates a peaceful but vigorous overthrow of a corrupt and corrupting liberal ruling class and proposes modest reforms to replace it. They include relocating executive branch departments of the federal government to cities around the country and the establishment of nationwide vocational programs. But in other passages, Mr. Dineen goes much further, describing the separation of church and state as a totalitarian undertaking that must be reversed so that American public life can be fully integrated with conservative forms of Christianity. He even affirmatively quotes a passage from Machiavelli in which he talks of the need to use extra-legal and almost bestial forms of resistance, including mobs running through the streets, in order to topple the powers that be. Despite that shift in content and tone, Mr. Dineen has been embraced by many new right conservatives and GOP politicians like Senator J.D. Vance of Ohio. Senator Marco Rubio's former chief of staff has called him one of the important people thinking about why we are in the moment we are in right now. Mr. Dineen and other discontented intellectuals of the religious right can perhaps be most accurately described as political reactionaries looking to undertake a revolutionary act in reverse. The Bronze Age pervert and the Nietzschean fringe farther out on the right's political and philosophical extremes bears cost in Alamariu, the person generally understood to be writing under the pseudonym Bronze Age pervert.